Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast. I am one of the co-hosts here. My name is Blake Mosley. I'm joined today by James Cox. James, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm making it. I had some technical difficulties, but you know, we're going to overcome. You know, we're gonna push through, and we will come out on top, right? Yeah. At some point. But technology has failed me today, or maybe I failed technology. I'm not sure. We have a very special guest today. And thank you again for coming on the show. Really looking forward to talking to you. I'm going to give our listeners a quick introduction about you real quick. So Anne Swanson teaches meditation to busy people with busy minds. She is the author of the best-selling book, Science of Yoga, which has been translated into over 15 languages. Her new book, Meditation for the Real World, illuminates the fascinating science behind meditation with the step-by-step practices to find peace in everyday life. However, Anne wasn't a naturally chill person, and meditation didn't come easy to her. Overcoming chronic pain and anxiety led her to India to study yoga, to China to explore Tai Chi, and ultimately to earn a Master of Science in Yoga Therapy. Now, Anne blends a cutting edge blends cutting edge research with ancient wisdom, resulting in realistic techniques that you'll find yourself integrating into your day. Order her new book at meditationfortherealworld.com for exclusive bonuses available to our listeners. So, Anne, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad to be here to talk about music and from that perspective too, which I have not spoken to anyone about.
Yeah, because before you came on, she's like, "This is the first time ever I'm talking to this about it on a podcast." And I'm like, "Yes, that's so great."
But it's such a big part of my like life as well as my work. I have a sound engineer who has two master's degrees in music and sound engineering, and she just created an album with me that is specifically engineered to optimize your brain waves for meditation. Or you can listen to it while you are, you know, trying to focus, or you want to have peak memory consolidation, you're doing a work project, or you just want to relax. So to put you in specific brain states. So we just produced this album together and it just came out. It's only available to people who purchase the book and gift it to someone. So that's available if you check out the book at meditationfortherealworld.com. Nice. But it's been such an amazing thing producing an album. I never thought I would do that. And to do it from a scientific perspective too.
Yeah.
So is this album going to be on like Spotify and Apple Music later on?
Yeah, the way I have it is it's you can get access to it for a podcast feed, a private podcast feed. So you can have it on Spotify, you can have it on your Apple Podcasts or your Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can have it there.
Nice. Well, before we hear all the awesome information you have to offer us, I would like to know, what is your favorite genre of all time, music-wise?
I think I really like what some people call like neoclassical, like when you get somebody that's classically trained in cello and then they're like, you know what, but I'm gonna do it this way instead. I'm gonna flip the cello upside down and beat on it, like Zoe Keating. I saw her live doing that and loop it, and I'm just gonna do my own thing, but I still know all the rules, but now I'm gonna break them. And I went to art school originally for visual arts and film, and that's what I find is like the first year of art school was all about being classically trained. Everybody, no matter if you were going to be a fashion designer or a digital artist, a graphic designer, you had to learn how to figure draw, how to do all the basics. You had to do the art history classes, all the classical training. And then you're like, go into your sculpture class and you break all the rules and you do something avant-garde. But I love that concept of the neoclassical people who have that knowledge and then just twist it.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you mentioned classical music, I'm sure you've heard of this, or maybe not. Have you heard of a band called Apocalyptica?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Blake and I know that very well. Well, they do. They're four cellos, and they cover rock music. It's great. Yeah.
Oh yes, I love the cello. Yeah. It sounds like a voice.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with cello is it can sound eerie 1 minute and sound so beautiful the next. It's a very wide arrangement of sound come from it. You know, it's great.
Very true. So prior to your most recent endeavors, like, did you have any type of instrument that you played, like maybe in school or anything like that? did you play in a band or anything like that?
Oh my gosh, I have a story to tell that I also have never shared. Is like the only type of story that I've told on like
exclusive
dates. Yes, exclusive material, because it doesn't seem relevant, but it is. I am by nature really anxious. Like I was always anxious growing up. I'm not the person you would think would be a meditation teacher now. I was not a chill person naturally. I was a type A go-getter. And so I was always into art, and I didn't join the band at first, but my friend, she played the flute and I really admired her. And she was in band the first year you start. And I admired her so much that I decided I'm going to join band next year. But I had to take private classes in order to catch up to be able to join a band. So I did. I took private classes and I got to the point where I could join. And second year, you know, I was last chair for flute. I was horrible. 27th chair. Sometimes I'd go to 26th chair. I mean, I was struggling. They were a year ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I decided at the end of the year, you know, I got into AP art. I wanted to do visual arts. That's to go into advanced art meant a lot to me. And I could choose one or the other. So I knew I wanted to leave band, but I kind of felt bad because like my dad had just spent all this money on private lessons. And so I was like, the only way I'm going to feel comfortable in myself for quitting band is if I can leave on top. If I can like really do this and know that I can do it, like I'm not just quitting like and I'm a failure, you know, I can do it. So I really focused on my private lessons and I caught up. And, you know, the way you do it is the chair challenges through the year. But I waited until the very end. You know, the way it was in my school, I don't know if it's like this in other schools, at the very end, you have a blind chair challenge. So we went into this little room on the top of the like music room. It was like you had to climb stairs to get to this tiny room that had a door. And each person went in there and the teacher couldn't see who was playing. And I played the chromatic scale and she would name what scale you had to play and then a song and then sight reading, like all of that you have to do within your 10, 15 minutes that you're up there. Right. And I did it. I had practiced every day for so long. And then I knew, you know, I was going to leave. But when they posted the chairs, who would be next year starting as chair one, starting as chair 10, 27, I walked up. Everybody looked perplexed when they looked at it. And it was me. I was number one.
Oh, wow.
I was number one.
How about that?
I had the perfect vibrato. Perfect. Yeah. I just practiced so much, but I put my arms up in the air like an asshole. And I was like, I'm quitting.
Yes. I'm done with this.
I would say that is like the ultimate like mic drop moment.
It was.
Like
right.
I came, I conquered, and now I'm out of here. So peace and blessings. We're done here. So
I never played flute again. I still have to sell that flute that's sitting in my closet. However, I did play the bamboo flute when I went to India.
Wow.
I took lessons, private lessons from someone there. And that was pretty cool to pick that up again.
Okay.
But maybe I'll pick it up again one day. I know I can do it if I ever want to.
Yeah.
Have a great appreciation.
You did come first, so I, you know, anything. Right. So, now if you had the chance to pick up any kind of instrument now, what would you learn how to play or, you know, play?
Absolutely. Harmonica.
Okay.
Because it's like the flute, you know, you can elongate your exhales, which is so good for your health.
Yeah.
We see that in chanting and singing and musical instrument playing and breathing practices that you do for yoga or to prepare for meditation. When we elongate the exhales, it puts us in that parasympathetic state of the nervous system, that rest, digest, and rejuvenate. So good for your health. So definitely do that. And then you can put it in your pocket, take it anywhere.
Yeah. So I was looking through your book before reading it, I should say, and it said that meditation doesn't have to be surrounded in religion. I mean, you don't have to like believe in one thing to be religious. Do you find that people look at as meditation as one religion, and if you don't believe in that one religion, I can't do it?
Yeah, some people have a misconception of it, but it's not just from one place or one culture or one spiritual practice or religion, although it is associated with many. You know, there's yoga practice has its own meditation, and then there's types of meditation from China, from Japan, from indigenous cultures throughout the world. And we can even look at through different religions, the practices they do overlap. They're this similar, whether you are saying a prayer and moving a beads on, you know, that's going to be putting you in the same state as these traditional meditations. So whether you call it meditation or prayer, sometimes it is the same thing.
Right.
And it transcends time and culture.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Because I think like many people get afraid of boxing themselves in instead of looking elsewhere, you know? But
Yeah.
a lot of people don't want to say fail, but yeah. But you know, that is what it is.
I say try it. I think that a lot of people are fearful of something new,
Right.
and try it and find a practice that works for you, right? There's so many different ways to meditate, and we can use music in our meditation. You can use music as your meditation. So your focus is on sound. Meditation is just paying attention and focusing in a relaxed way. So your teacher will give you a focal point, whether that's a word you repeat, or it's focusing on your own breath, or you're listening to sounds and you fully immerse yourself in those sounds. Whenever your mind wanders, you're going to come back to that focal point. You're going to come back to just experiencing the music or the sound of ocean waves, whatever it may be. You'll come back to it. But part of meditation is your mind will wander. It's coming back to that anchor or that focal point that's the key part.
I don't know if Blake has a question, but is okay. So technically, there is no wrong way to meditate. Anybody can do it anywhere at any time, right?
Yes, the cover of my new book, Meditation for the Real World, has a person sitting on a subway and she has her feet grounded down. She's sitting tall. Everybody around her is slouched down, scrolling on their phones. Even one guy has his laptop out and he's hunched over. Everybody's distracted, right? And instead of scrolling while you wait, you can meditate while you wait. You can have your eyes open. She's wearing headphones. Perhaps she's listening to a song she's
There
really
you
focused on, or maybe it's a guided meditation. But the people around her are just in this distracted state. She has her eyes open. She's there, present in the moment. So you can meditate anywhere, anytime, and it can be just for a minute, right? Like you have a minute to spare. It doesn't have to be this 20 minutes sitting on a cushion on the floor. It doesn't have to be sitting a specific way
Yeah.
where your legs are crossed and your hands are in a position. Although if you want to do those techniques, you can. It's really adaptable.
I believe that I meditate sometimes, before I go to work. I say, please let this be a good work day. Please let this, and it is, So I can tell. I can tell you for sure that it doesn't work. I mean, because if you tell your mind that it will work, it'll work. And I guess that's what meditation does for you. You say good things to your mind and body and soul, and it happens. Right?
Yeah, there's so many
Yeah.
different types of meditation. We can repeat like a phrase or word over and over that has a positive or even just neutral feel to it. You can say an affirmation. That's when you say like, I
Yeah.
am strong, and you repeat it over and over, and it truly becomes your reality. Words and thoughts become reality. And then there's types of meditation where you're just focusing on perhaps your physical sensations, feeling your posture, feeling the signals your body is giving you in this moment, and just listening to your body. So many of us numb out and we don't pay attention to those signals. But your body has so much wisdom to say to you. And when you tap into it, you're going to get to be more creative, more focused, more intuitive, more connected with yourself and others.
Yeah. So music-wise, how does music influence the effectiveness of meditation practices?
So throughout history and time, people have used chanting and singing, whether it be a song in a Catholic a church like Ave Maria, a hymn, or it be in Tibet, they sing Om Mani Padme Om as a chant. So throughout different cultures, we have these things that we repeat before a religious or spiritual ceremony or before a meditation. And one researcher, his name's Luciano Bernardi, an Italian cardiologist, he looked at a variety of these different songs throughout cultures, and he found that no matter where they were, it created a specific breath rate. And it was about 6 breaths per minute. It's creates this state of coherence or like calm and ease and balance. So between 5.5 and 6 breaths per minute, when you're at that breath rate, it's really good for being connected. It's the perfect state to go into before a religious experience or a spiritual experience or a meditation. And I just think it's so cool that throughout cultures and time, we came to the same conclusion, and we are using these to come to the same place. So that state of coherence is one thing, but also we could just listen to different sounds that are specific frequencies in order to induce specific brain waves. I used to think this was a little crazy because you see, like, you know, this, you know, these frequencies will open your heart chakra or something like that. And honestly, I'm a scientist. I look at the research behind these things. We can't know if that's opening your heart chakra. We can't measure your heart chakra, right? But as I dove into the research behind specific frequencies of music and sounds, I found that the researchers have found this to be so powerful, they literally call them digital drugs. Because of the effects on your neurobiology, your neurochemistry, your brain waves change to be in different states. And so we're like right now, we're in beta brain waves. We're conversing, or if you're listening to this, you're listening, and it's a more active state. But when we meditate, we go into alpha brain waves, alpha state. This is relaxed and at ease. With meditation, we go into other brainwave states too, like gamma brainwaves. It's like peak consolidation of memories and focus. We can go into that with meditation. Really advanced practitioners go there quite quickly. We can even go into delta brainwaves, which is like usually only seen in sleep when we meditate. And I think it's so cool. We go into theta brainwaves, which are typically mostly seen in children, but with meditation, adults can go into this in more areas of their brain more often. And this has to do with like creativity and divergent thinking. So if you can put on specific sounds that are, it's measured in hertz, right? The frequencies are measured in hertz. So if you can put in sounds for theta brainwaves is like 4 to 8 hertz. If you put something on like that before you want to do something creative, that would be really helpful. If you put it in the background of a meditation, like I did in my meditation challenge, I have these meditations with audios that are that use these sounds strategically. Like we can have a meditation to induce creativity more with that specific pattern. Or you can, if you're in that higher hertz, it's like anything above 35 hertz is going to be in that gamma place. So if the music is in that state, the sounds are in that specific frequency, then you're going to be able to focus better, peak focus on memory consolidation. So we've been integrating those and it's been really cool.
Right, right. Going back to the creativity you mentioned before, which is so great. A lot of musicians obviously practice to get better, right? So when and if they do meditate before they practice, does it help them like learn faster?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So meditation can help you get into that flow state.
Okay.
That's when you're completely immersed in whatever you're doing, whether you're playing guitar or writing a song, or you're in that psychological state of flow. And meditation is a type of flow state. Playing guitar is not meditation, although it could be quite meditative. It's also a flow state when you're like really into the zone of it. So there's that overlap there. Now, when you meditate, it's like boot camp for your focus. So you get better at getting into the flow state quicker and staying there longer. So I like to do like a pre-creativity meditation. And I can do it with us right now. It's in the book, and it's in order to induce divergent thinking, which is what we want with creativity. So I can't put the theta waves behind it, the frequencies, although maybe I can give you a track and you could. But this is based off of a study I'll briefly explain to you first. Is they compared the typical type of meditation that you think of that I kind of already described earlier is like you have a focal point and you focus on that focal point. Like you're going to notice your breath. And as you're listening, you can just notice your breath moving in and out of you. And you notice the movement of your breath. When your mind wanders, you come back to noticing your breath. That's most meditation techniques go something like that. Now, they compared in this specific study that sort of focal point, focal meditation versus a meditation where they used open monitoring or open awareness. And this is kind of the opposite. You're actually going to take everything in all at once. And you're going to notice all the sounds, what you see, what you feel. You're going to notice whatever stimuli come your way, whatever thoughts come your way. You're just going to take it all in. This was better for creativity because then afterwards they were like really this acute sense of awareness. And it's like, oh, well, now I know what I want to write for my story. You know, now yeah. I know what song I'm going to do. You know, it just kind of comes to you when you're in that state. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to do first the focal point, and that's going to be our physical sensation so that we can like arrive. We can get here, get in our body, be present. And then I'm going to introduce you to open awareness. This will just take 2 minutes. So you can think of this as something you would do right before you are going to do some sort of...
I don't know what I have to do, but it's awesome. Blue, just keep up on the screen. All
I put my fingers up for 2 minutes and Zoom to put balloons up. And it just, you know, celebrates the fact that we're going to get creative.
There you go.
and get into flow better. So take a moment and place your hands in your lap, palms facing up. That's going to invite a sense of openness. You're welcome to close your eyes. Obviously, if you're driving or something, you can't do that or have the hands palms up, but you could still participate. If you're comfortable though, close your eyes and bring your attention to your hands. Feel your hands fully. All the sensations present in your hands, all the way to the fingertips. All those sensations are always there. We just don't notice them. There's an inordinate amount of sensory nerve receptors on your fingertips. So when you pay attention to them, you'll probably feel like a buzzing, pulsating, and vibrating. Feel your hands holding sensation. Now feel just your left hand. Bring all your awareness into your left hand. And then bring all your awareness into your right hand. Holding your awareness in your right hand. And we'll go a little faster. Feel your left hand. And your right hand. Left hand. Right hand. Left, right, left, right. Both hands, feel both hands at once, simultaneously. Feel both hands. Now, let go of your awareness in your hands and open it to beyond the hands, to the whole body, to all the sounds in your space, my voice, whatever other sounds are present. Maybe even if your eyes are closed, you notice what you see. Notice what you smell and taste, and notice whatever arrives in this wide open awareness. Invite in inspiration with the next few inhales. Paying attention to whatever comes to you as wisdom. And you're welcome to open your eyes if they're closed. If you are doing this before something, you might want to go a little longer until the inspiration hits you, right? Until it comes to you, and then you start creating from there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that was amazing. I truly enjoyed that. That was really okay.
Blake's got a lot of fear, y'all. Okay.
I have so many cool things to say about that, especially, focusing on one hand to the other. Like, no lie, it was the wildest thing to be able to feel the difference in my hands. It's I don't know, it's crazy. I love it. That was truly relaxing, and honestly something I should do every day. And I think I will.
Yeah, so the hand trick, it's cool because it's prepping your brain for creativity.
Yeah,
when you bring your awareness to your left hand, the right hemisphere or half of your brain is activated because that's the part that's controlling your left side of your body. And then vice versa is true. So we go back and forth between activity in each hemisphere. And I was strategically doing that faster so that your brain gets used to like switching back and forth. And then you feel both at once. What is it like to be both? What is it like to accept whatever comes your way? And then we go into open awareness. So that's kind of the logic of that and why I like to do that before creativity.
That is so cool. That is really, really, really cool. So I'm a drummer. I've been playing drums for, 22 years. I've been playing drums. Practice, right? You get to a point where things just come naturally to you. But it feels like where I'm at currently with my drumming, I feel like I've almost capped out at my abilities. So I've been trying to figure out, like, you know, is it just, do I need to expand my horizons and try to learn maybe get into a different type of music that has a different drumming style, and maybe that will then enhance my drumming in other areas. But I never thought about meditating until now. And also being a drummer, you know, I'm a big Blink-182 fan. Travis Barker is my idol, right? And I know that he's very big on meditation, especially since the plane crash that he was in, years ago. That is, like, a lot of things changed in his life after that. Sobriety, among all kind of things, right? Fear of flying. Meditation helped with that, helped him get over his fear of flying. Now he meditates before every show to, you know, clear his mind, to open up all of his senses, to come out there, do what he does best. But in speaking of rhythm and things like that, do things like tempo and like the rhythm of the music impact the pace and the depth of meditation sessions? Like, is it supposed to only be just really calm, chill, relaxed music, or is there room for fast paced type?
Yeah, really good question, because the same researcher I mentioned earlier, he has studied just that. And he had people listen to, what was it? He had them listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think this was researched in the 90s. I don't know exactly. But he had them listen to the songs and then like classical music and then super calm. Like, the music stays the same sort of vibe the whole time. What he found is he was observing their respiratory rhythm, their heart rate, all of these factors. And he found that the songs that had like an intense swell and then had a pause, you know, then in the pauses, people were able to relax deeper. Their heart rate slowed even more than if it was a song that was all even the whole song. So we've been experimenting with that with the meditation album, because you think of meditation music as just being all kind of boring, all the same. But it is nice for it to have that change, because then when the pause comes, you go deeper into relaxation than you were even before. We start the album with a song with like the hand pans, and it's like more energetic. And I always put it on and I literally move. I'll do a moving meditation, whether I'm doing yoga or dance. And I'm just getting into my body. And then at the end of the song, it moves us into alpha brainwaves and theta brainwaves. So it goes from that like higher alert state into the more ease. And I think at the, by the end of the song, I'm able to like boom, go into meditation. Yeah. So I think it can be both ways.
Okay. Okay. So this kind of leads into another question that we have here. James, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and take this one. So like what role does personal preference play in selecting music for meditation? And does it affect the outcome at all? If we all have different moods, right? Some of us consider some music relaxing that others would pull their hair out if they had to listen to it for an extensive period of time. So is that a factor here?
Absolutely. If you're going to enjoy the music and be moved by it, then it's going to help you be more present. And we've all had that experience of listening to a song that just makes us absolutely present.
Sure.
And that's what it can do for you. Like I will put on just a song and I'll just listen to the song and allow it to induce the brain state and the feeling that I'm going for. Or I'll have it in the background, right? Like to a guided meditation. But, you know, just choosing a song that inspires you can be the world of difference, but also choosing sound. So it's not only music, but it's like a sound painting. Have you heard that term before?
I have.
Yes.
Yes. I was just talking about this concept. So having a sound painting that creates a mood, it's often like the sound of waves. It's rhythmic. It stays pretty steady. The sound of rain falling. So different sounds have colors, believe it or not. Just like light is waves that come together. And when we have light of all different colors, it makes white light. Right? When we have sound of like the high frequencies, medium and low, it makes white noise. We've all heard of white noise machines in the background. It kind of like blocks noise, something like a whirling fan in the background. That's that white noise. Now, I like pink noise and brown noise even more.
Yes.
So pink noise is like rainfall. If you ever find rainfall relaxing,
yes.
That's pink noise. And they pink and brown both cut the high frequencies and they get a little lower. And it's more like what we find in nature. And our brain doesn't necessarily know the difference if it hears nature sounds and being in a room where it's raining, right? And you hear it on your rooftop. Your brain takes it the same way. It's like, oh, I'm experiencing nature right now. Mm-hmm. So brown noise is like, I live right by the ocean. It's the sound of the waves. You find that relaxing, or waterfall. More, it has even more lower intense tones to it. And so brown noise can also induce that relaxation state. I like to incorporate those into the meditations that I teach, or even just put them in the background while I'm trying to focus on something. All of these pink and brown noises can help with focus, memory, and they can help with sleep too, especially.
So would you say for like a beginner who is really interested in doing something like this, who maybe they're like me and they're very easily distracted. It's very hard for me to like read because I tend to get distracted and think about other things. And then I'm like, oh man, I just read 3 pages. I have no idea what I just read. So let's say I wanted to get into doing this, but I'm easily distracted. Do you have any tips for people like that?
Well, I think probably your listeners using sound is going to be key. Mm. I say use something science-backed that we know is beneficial that you enjoy to enhance your experience, to make you more likely to do it. And so sound, music can be that component. Another component is nature. We know that nature is so good for your health. I just described that if you hear nature sounds, your brain thinks you're in nature and has the healing effects. Well, also same if you were looking at a picture of the ocean or a video of the ocean, your brain doesn't know the difference. It starts to believe that you're there. So you could look at nature, whether it be in real life, taking that time to savor it and really experience it and be present with it. That can be your meditation, staring at the ocean. And that's your focal point. focus on the ocean. Anytime you go in nature, use that as an opportunity to have a mini meditation, to take a powerful pause and like watch the sunset, enjoy the sunset, really savor it, and sit still for a moment. We're always so go, 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 busy. Just sit still and bask in it. So integrating nature is another way.
Okay.
I have two more questions for you, and then we'll, you know, let you go. First question is, do you know which genre has the best, I don't know how to ask this, but when you're dealing with meditation, which genre of music is more prevalent, I guess you would say?
I don't know how to answer. I know what you're asking, and I don't know how to answer it, but I know how to answer what not to listen to.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
So, believe it or not, pop music is often a specific hertz. You know, these frequencies are measured in hertz. That is in a range that is not so good for your brain.
Sure.
It puts you in this state of being easily manipulated. They'll use it in politics also, these frequencies, where you're just kind of becoming a sheep. And we think about like, if it's a super popular song, everybody just likes it. Everybody's just being a sheep and listening to it. They don't have their own opinion thing. But like a lot of pop music strategically integrates those specific frequencies. So, I'd say, you know, not listening to pop music all the time and instead finding more relaxing music. I mean, I had a hard time also finding music, but I was like, I'm certain this is good for my brain, which is why I created this album, right?
Yeah.
It's because I was like, I want to have something that's like science backed. I know this is going to help me focus. I know this is going to help me get into meditation. It incorporates things like binaural beats. Have y'all listened to binaural beats?
No, I have not yet. No.
Okay. So this is super cool. You have to listen to these with headphones on because it's two different tones that are specific frequencies in your one ear and the other, but your brain interprets it as one. So that's why it has to be done with headphones. And it leads to this process of entrainment, which basically is your brain synchronizes to the frequency of the music. So you go into that brainwave state, as I described earlier, and it's very effective. It also sometimes does the tones. It's really cool. They go from ear to ear. And if you have your eyes closed, your eyes are like moving side to side, which we also know is really good for your brain, right? If you've ever done like the therapy where it's EMDR, like eye movement.
The
therapist will move their finger or an object and you follow it with your eyes side to side. So the way that one way in which this is working is when your eyes move side to side, it turns down activity in your amygdala, which is your fear center of your brain. Like when we go for a walk naturally, like if you're just walking down the street or walking on a path in nature, your eyes scan side to side. You're constantly scanning the horizon. That is human nature, to scan your environment. And it's actually quite relaxing and can turn down that amygdala activity when you can do that, compared to what we do all the time, just staring at a screen, right? Staring at a little screen, our phone right in front of us. So it's really cool how the music, I'm like, blown away with these binaural beats. They make my eyes move and I can feel it, as well as I incorporate other things like ASMR. Do you, either of you experience ASMR? Yes. You both do. I hadn't until recently.
Really?
So it's this autonomic sensory meridian response is what it stands for. And it's actually the number one searched term on YouTube. Yeah. Like people get really into it. And that's asked, is this meditation? Because these people just stare and like listen to these sounds that induce what sometimes people call head orgasm, or can even be full body, where you're feeling fuzzy. Is that how y'all feel? How do you feel when you experience it?
So I've got a really like interesting ASMR story. So TikTok, you know, we love TikTok. Hopefully it's here to stay. Apparently it's going to, anyway. So one of my favorite things about TikTok is the ASMR videos that you can come across. My favorites are carpet cleaning videos. They're just so relaxing. The shampooing, the scrubbing, the soaking, the squeegeeing.
It's very satisfying, is what you say.
It is very, very satisfying.
Yeah. Satisfying. That's the good word.
It's so satisfying to watch. Just to show, all of our listeners here, like, how it works. My youngest godson, was going through a period where he was very hyper, very worked up, hard to go to sleep, things like that. And one of the things that I would do with him was we would sit back and I would pull up these carpet cleaning videos for us to watch. And both of us would just zone out watching these things. And we still do it. And sometimes he'll come to me, he's like, "Can we watch carpet videos?" Heck yeah, we can. Let's do it.
Yeah, dude.
That's amazing.
It's great. I absolutely love it. And yeah, we're bonding. We're both just relaxing. We're not thinking about the day. We're just taking in the moment. We're watching these videos and watching these carpets get cleaned. Mm. And it's a really special thing. I really enjoy doing that with them.
That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't experience it before, but I worked with my music producer to create this song that has this like fuzzy feeling in the background that we use in meditations. And if you're not sure, like, it's only 20% of people experience it. So if you're not sure if you experience this, you can listen to the song on the album and determine, do I experience this? It is this fuzzy feeling, and it just enhances the meditation practice. You ask, like, what can we do to enhance it? Listen to sounds, incorporate ASMR. Like, ASMR itself, like playing guitar, is not meditation, but it can be incorporated, if especially some of these, you could use ASMR in the voice or in the background of a meditation, of a guided meditation, where you're being guided into focus. So use these different techniques to enhance your practice.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. But I agree with you, even though you haven't said it, I agree with you that pop is garbage sometimes. It's all about country, man. Country.
That's the key.
I don't know if Ann likes country music, but country music is my heart and soul. And Blake loves punk music, so I think
Look, I'm a punk rock kid. Like, grew up listening to it. I love the fast paced stuff. And that's relaxing to me. My wife. Not the same story, right? Sometimes she's like, do we have to listen to this? Like, no, we don't. Let's turn it off, right? But for me, it's relaxing. Like, it helps me focus at work. I put on, really fast punk stuff, and it helps me stay focused. That's a personal preference, right? This has been such an interesting conversation. Normally, like, when we do interviews, it's like, we have like this band on and we're like, hey, yeah, well, your album, and while those are so great, stuff like this is really so, it's just so interesting because it's so outside of the norm for us. And just learning new things is so fun to me, and especially the experiencing the hand thing that we just did. I don't know, I want to like go find like a dark room and like do it again.
And if your listeners want to get into meditation, listen to that album, go to meditationfortherealworld.com.
yes,
and buy a copy of the book. You'll get the meditation challenge, which incorporates those sounds sent to you daily. It's just 10 minutes a day. And it incorporates some of these like minute meditations, these brief practices that you can do through your day. And you'll figure out how you can get a hold of that meditation music album at meditationfortherealworld.com.
There we go.
Thanks. I do have one more question, and then I promise you we'll let you go.
My pleasure.
So this might be the hardest question I have for you tonight. and it usually is for everybody. Okay, so an album, an artist, or a song. Can you think of one that you can tell me or Blake what it is that makes you, like, you can't tell anybody how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Oh, man. I mean, I was just thinking about this song. There's so many songs that I could say right now, but
you can say as many as you want to.
This one is so random. Do you remember the sunscreen song?
Sunscreen song. I don't think so.
Google search. It's Baz Luhrmann speaking, and he's describing like life lessons.
Okay.
And it's set to a song. It is so cool. Some of you like. It has another title to it. Let me see what the other title. Some of you will know what I'm talking about because it was super popular. I think it was like on, you know, briefly on the top songs, you know, the top list at a specific time. I don't even remember what year it was, but it's called Everybody's Free.
Okay.
Is one other title for it. Everybody's Free. It's 1999 is when it came out, and it's supposed to be. I mean, legend has it, it's a real commencement speech by Baz Luhrmann, and he is just giving life lessons. And basically, it's like, I can't really tell you anything for sure except to wear sunscreen, but it's just his rambling on. Yeah. You know, you can worry, but worrying is as useless as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. It's just these random things he says, and you're like, huh, yeah, that's true. Why do I worry all the time? And it really gets me to be present and feel at ease. So pull up the sunscreen song.
I've never heard of that.
Everybody's going
to look it up. Okay. Yeah, that is really interesting.
You'll recognize it.
I'm sure as soon as I hear it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that.
90s, okay. Right? 90s,
yeah,
yeah. So, do we have any more songs, or is that the only one that you like go to? Or...
I'll give that as homework, and
there you go.
Okay. For okay. Now,
okay, cool. Well, we honestly thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. I know Blake and I love this conversation. Would you please come back anytime?
This was so fun. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And so awesome. Next time I drop an album,
which I never thought I would say. Yeah. And when does the album? So when does the album officially drop?
So the way it works is you can get the meditations that are 10 minutes that incorporate the music when you buy a copy of this.
Right.
And then you'll be told, you know, like if you grab a gift copy for a friend, then you get the album.
There you go. Okay. So gotcha.
You'll be guided through that because I really want to spread meditation. That's my goal is to get more people meditating and not feel like it's intimidating. It has to be this 20-minute thing on a cushion on the floor, and it's not for you.
Like 5 or 6 minutes.
It could be 1 minute. It can make a huge difference right before
2 minutes, just like we did.
Do your art. Yes, exactly. Yes. It's going to put you in flow state.
Nice.
Man, wow, such a great conversation. Yeah. And again, thank you so much for coming on. My eyes have been open, honestly. This is so wonderful. I'm going to take everything I learned here today and just run with it. I can't wait to like as soon as my wife like becomes available and be like, you have got to
do this.
Wow.
Anyway, join the meditation challenge.
Let's do it. Awesome. Yeah. Well, and thank you again for coming on. We hope that you will be back soon.
We got a promoter. Come on.
We got a plug.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and for everybody listening right now, you can go to AnnSwensonWellness.com, find out all there is to know about there. Or you can order her book, the one she just showed on YouTube, at meditationfortherealworld.com. She's also on Instagram, scienceof.yoga. And she's on the TikTok. Hopefully that doesn't be.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Let's
hope. And Spots and Wellness. But yes, we love you to death. We honestly want you deeply to come back anytime you want to.
Yes.
Just send one of us an email and we're going to get it going for it, you know.
Perfect. So thank you so much. I'll be back.
All right.
My pleasure. All right.
And for that, thank you for listening. And everybody remember, when words fail,
music speaks.
There you go.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye. Thank you again, Anne.
Thank you.